Romans chapter 16. This morning we'll look at the first 16 verses. I guess the advantage and disadvantage of preaching through a book, you come to a passage like this where there are just seemingly a lot of names as he's greeting everybody. And so it kind of forces you to study it more, and maybe that's an advantage and a disadvantage. You come across that, and so we're going to look at these greetings to all this morning that Paul gives to the Romans, and we're going to first of all look at the supportive sister, Phoebe, and then the special spouses, Aquila and Priscilla, and then the saluted saints, and there are a whole bunch of them, and we're going to look at those in just a few minutes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for all of these saints that we read about in this chapter who were so involved in the church years ago. And Lord, we thank you that we can be involved today in your church, the one here that you have established in Sumter, Sumter Bible Church. What a blessing it is to have people of like faith all around us, even as Paul had there with the Romans. And Father, we pray that you would encourage our hearts, that you would challenge and convict our hearts as we look at this message from Paul to the Romans this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The key phrase in this passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 16, is in the Lord or in Christ. Those two phrases will occur 11 times, in the Lord and in Christ. And so all of these people that he is addressing and greeting and saluting here, we're going to see that they are believers. That's what it means to be in Christ or in the Lord. And there are many verses that show that. First of all, we're going to look at his supportive sister, Phoebe, there. It tells us she was a sister. The name means radiant or bright there. And so here is a sister in the Lord that was brightly shining for the Lord. This name Phoebe is also a name for the Corinthian god, goddess Diana. And so more than likely, you know, she was from the home of pagan idol worshipers. But now she is shining brightly for the Lord, where before she was living in darkness. And that's what the Lord does when he saves us, isn't it? He takes us from a world of darkness, and he says that we become lights of the world, because he is the light of the world and he wants us to shine. Well, Phoebe certainly did. She was a sister in the Lord. Whenever you have a sister, that shows that you have a relationship with the same father, or it could be with the same mother, but we know that, and from the spiritual standpoint, it's our relationship to God, the Father. And it's a wonderful thing when we have a personal relationship with God the Father. And that was a name for God that Jesus introduced that the Old Testament didn't know. They knew him by many different names, the great I am. But when Jesus taught them to pray our Father, which is in heaven, he established a personal relationship that we can have with our God. And also, there's a relationship to the family as well. And so here she is a sister in the Lord. You know, whenever you get married, you become a part of your spouse's family, and you gain new in-laws or outlaws, as we sometimes call them there. Whenever you get saved, you also are joined to a new family. We are become the part of the family of God when we get a new life. And here is Paul, who is a male Jew, and he is writing commending a female Gentile to a bunch of Romans. And only the grace of God can do something like that. And so God has worked, because in the church, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And so here he's writing commending his sister Phoebe, who is not only a sister, but she is also a servant there. Notice her position as a servant. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant in the church. And the word servant is the same word as the word deacon, because that's what deacons are. Now, she wasn't in the position of a deacon there, but she was a servant. And deacon is not so much just an office that a person holds. A deacon is a person who serves. And so here she was, faithful in her service. And notice it says she was a servant, in verse 1, of the church. And that also shows the authority under which she served. And so God has established the local church, and it's through the local church that he works. And we have the church as the authority. We have our Christian school and our Kids for Truth and our teens, and they all operate under the authority of the local church. And even Phoebe was doing that as well. But not only we see her position, we see her praise. Paul says, I commend her to you. And what a wonderful thing to be praised there. She was worthy of honor because not just because she was a sister, but because she was a servant. And the Bible says, give honor to those to whom honor is due. And here is a believer who was serving the Lord faithfully, and Paul, for generations to come, will see that Phoebe was a believer who was serving the Lord. And then in verse 2, he says that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her. And so as she is serving, she's not doing it alone. And even as we as Christians are serving in the church, and we have different positions or different areas of service that we perform, we don't do it alone. We work together. We are a body of believers, and we're working together. As Corinthian Paul says to the Corinthians, you know, we have the eyes and the ears and the nose and the hands and the feet, all of one body, all working to accomplish the same thing here. And so they are partners together as they assist one another. And that's what God wants from us, from a local church, that each one of us, like Phoebe, has some service to do. And we'll see others as well. And we're doing it together to support one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. But we also see that word succorer, as it says in verse 2. And that word is a Greek word that means to run under. So basically the idea is she was going to do whatever needed to be done to support the ministry. And that's pretty much our job description as saints in the Lord, isn't it? Do whatever needs to be done. And that's what we do around the ministry here. Whatever needs to be done, we figure out how to do it, or we find somebody who knows how to do it. And if it needs to be done, we find a way to get it done. And that's why Paul is commending her, because she was running under. She was behind the scenes helping. And we have a lot of people that do that, that kind of run underneath the surface, behind the scenes, and they're laboring. And they also need to be commended. And I commend all of you for those of you who are serving in whatever area here. She was using her talent. And all of us have different talents. And we don't know exactly what her talent was, but we do know that she was doing whatever she could. She was serving in any way that she possibly could, and that's what God wants from us as well. You know, one of our most valuable assets is time. You can't earn more time. And so you can pray for one another. You can visit those who are sick and shut in. You can provide meals and cooking. And there's so many things that we can do that give of our time. And whenever we give of our time, we're really giving our life, because we can't get time back, and we can't go back and gain more life there. And so here's Phoebe, and also she's giving of her heart as well, her tenderness, as I call it here. You know, whenever you invest your heart in something, there's always that risk that you're going to get hurt, isn't it? And sometimes people do, and sometimes because people have been hurt once, they say, that's not going to happen to me anymore, and then they back off and they don't get involved anymore. And so God doesn't want that. God is a healer, and he can help us with the hurts that we've been through, and we need to be tender towards one another, even as Phoebe was, as a beloved sister in the Lord. Well, we come to the next one, the special spouses, Aquila and Priscilla here, and here they are with a household of believers. And we have some differences there. A Jew marrying a Roman Gentile, the Bible talks about be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But sometimes people get married and they have a lot of differences. They say opposites attract, you know, and so here they are working together as a husband and wife, and they're having some difficulties as well. Because it tells us here in verse 4 that they laid down their necks. don't turn over to Acts 18, but if you want to make a note of it, in Acts 18 too, Claudius had expelled the Christians there. And so there were pagan influences that were controlling them. And don't we have a lot of that today? Pagan influences that try to change our families, try to control our families with materialism and peer pressure and all those things. And they were dealing with the same things as well. But after they left Rome, because Claudius had expelled them from Rome, and he thought he was going to have his way and get rid of the Christians from Rome, what happened to Aquila and Priscilla when they were expelled from Rome? They met up with Paul. God had a purpose for them to meet up with Paul. And so Claudius meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, just like with Joseph there. And God's providence is at work, and He is in control. And though sometimes we don't understand everything that's going on, why would God allow a ruler like Claudius to expel the Christians from Rome? He had a plan, and he was in control, and God is still in control today as well. But also this household of Aquila and Priscilla was a household with burdens. In verse 4, it says, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also..." Here it is, all the churches of the Gentiles there. And so they were helpers for God's work there. Whatever they need, Paul needed, they were sharing the burdens that Paul had. Paul had a lot of burdens because he had all the churches of the Gentiles. So what did Aquila and Priscilla do? Well, what they did not do was add to the burden of Paul and his leadership. They didn't want to create more difficulties for him, so they came along to bear him up, to encourage him, and to help him in the Lord. And Paul is now writing to commend them for what they had done to serve the ministry, to help Paul, and to work alongside of him. You remember Apollos there in Acts chapter 18. Remember that the Bible says that he was excellent in the Scriptures and he was mighty with words, but yet he didn't fully understand the Scriptures. And the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla, they explained the way of God more perfectly unto him. And so here they are not only involved in the work of God, but they're involved in teaching the Word of God. Even to someone who was pretty mighty in the Scriptures already, but there was an area where he needed some help there. And so it doesn't matter if the person that you are called to minister to, maybe on the social ladder they might be higher than you, or the educational ladder they might be smarter than you. That doesn't matter when God is working, because God is able to use you to minister to anyone, because it's God's grace that is working in and through us. It's not because of our background and education and our abilities. It's the power of God Himself that works through us, as it was with Aquila and Priscilla, to be God's witnesses as well. The word witness, as you may know, is the Greek word martyr there. And it says they laid down their necks there. And so God may call us to be a martyr for Him. It may come a time in our nation where we take a stand for Christ and it's going to cost us our lives. Well, here they were willing to do that. But in verse 5, we see it was also a household of blessings. It says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And it wasn't until about two centuries later that Christians began to meet in special buildings to have church, and so they were meeting in houses there. And so it wasn't formal type worship, it was a household. It was sincere, it was hospitable. And that's what we need to have. Of course, the Bible says that we do things decently in order, because God is a God of order, but it's not formal and stiff. It's hospitable. When people come into fellowship at Sumter Bible Church, they ought to feel at home. They ought to be made to feel welcome, whether it's through the handshaking time or just when they come in. It ought to be like coming into a friend's house. That's the way it was here with Aquila and Priscilla. there. Now we go to the saluted saints. And boy, there are a bunch of them. So we're going to go through them pretty quickly here. There are at least, from this point on, 26 named individuals. And then he talks about the household of some. And so more than that are mentioned, but he's naming all of these people. And if you go all the way back to the very beginning of Romans to chapter 1, these were not just names to Paul. They were people he knew well. They might just be names to us, but in Romans 1:9, it says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And so these names that we are going to see, they might just be names to us that we don't know, and there's not much other reference to them in the scriptures to most of them, but to Paul, he knew them well, and he prayed for them by name. We need to do the same thing, don't we? Pray for people, not just God bless all the people in our church. Now, we can do that, and he can answer that prayer, but it's really nice whenever you call somebody's name before the Lord, isn't it? And if you know a particular need they have, to bring it before the Lord. That's what Paul did. So let's look at all of these people. First of all, the well-beloved in verse 5, Epaminondas. And he was the first fruits of Achaia. That means that he was the first one that was saved there. And this name means praised. And so now God is being praised because the gospel has made its way into Achaia, and people are beginning to get saved. And that's a wonderful thing. And so Paul is commending him because he is well beloved. The next one is Mary in verse 6. Notice it says here, she bestowed much labor. She was a hard worker. She was diligent. The book of Proverbs talks about diligence, and it also talks about the opposite of that, about being lazy. And God honors hard work. And here is a woman by the name of Mary, and there are many Marys in Scripture, and she's being commended because she's a hard worker. We don't know what she did. She might have been cooking for a guest. She might have been keeping the nursery. We don't know what she was doing. They were meeting in the house. We don't know what might have been going on, but she was faithful in serving there. Then in verse 7, he mentions two that were fellow prisoners. And then it goes on to say in verse 7 that they were of note among the apostles. They were of note. The apostles took specific notice of these people who were fellow prisoners because they were faithful to the Lord. And the apostles were appreciative of what they had done. It goes on to say that Andronicus and Junia were in Christ before me. That's in verse 7. And you know that phrase, they were in Christ before me, that little phrase really divides our lives, doesn't it? Our lives are divided into two parts. Before we're in Christ, and after we're in Christ. And so you look back on your life and say, when did I become in Christ? For me, it was at the age of 9 at a youth camp in Sherrill, South Carolina, when I asked Christ to save me. I became in Christ at that point. And so it was a short time before that in Christ, and a much longer time, but that's a dividing point in our lives. And so it was with Andronicus and Junia. They were in Christ before me. He calls them their kinsmen, not relatives, but probably meaning Jewish as he was there as well. But it's a spiritual family, as he's talking about his sister Phoebe and his kinsmen there. And we are a spiritual family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, he goes on in verse 8, and the next one he mentions is Amplius, and he says he is beloved in the Lord. He was very near and very dear to Paul. We don't know much about him, but he meant a lot to Paul there. And then we come to verse 9. He mentions two here, Urbane, which the word means helper, and Stachys, which means my beloved there. These two words, the meaning of them is interesting. The first one, urbane, is a word that means refined or of the city. And the word stachys is a word that means head of grain, which means more he was a country boy and a city slicker. You know, they're here, they are in the same church. You know, both of these two were united by the grace of God. And so it doesn't matter if we have northerner and southerner, you know, or American and Filipino. It doesn't matter those things. When we're in the Lord, we have a new family in Christ, and God's grace unites us there together. Well, the next one in verse 10 is Apelles, and some commentators think that this may be a reference to Apollos here. But in verse 10, notice what it says of him. He was approved in Christ. And that word approved means that he has gone through some affliction and some testing, and he has passed the test, and he has been approved there. And what a wonderful thing it is whenever we go through the fires of affliction and we come through being approved in Christ. What a statement that is. As Paul writes and says, boy, he's been approved in Christ. What about you? Could that statement be made about you, that you've been tried and tested and found to be faithful and you are approved in Christ? Pretty convicting question I'm asking, convicting to myself as well. Then we go to the next one, the household of Aristobulus there. Possibly he himself was not a Christian, but Paul addresses his household here, the slaves that were there that came to know the Lord there. Then we go on and there's some more, Herodian and Narcissus here. And it says about them in verse 11, which are in the Lord. Maybe they were newly in the Lord. Maybe they hadn't been saved long. But there's that wonderful phrase, either in the Lord or in Christ. That is the dividing line in our lives. Before we were in the Lord, after we're in the Lord. And that point in time when we become in Christ or in the Lord is the time when we ask Christ to come into the heart and save us from our sin. And at that moment in time, we become in Christ. And Paul is writing to these who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Then we come to two others, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I don't know if they were twins or not, but verse 12, I guess it seems like, you know, name their kids like we do today sometimes with twins. There it says, who labor in the Lord. Who labor. That is a present tense verb. So that means that Tryphena and Tryphosa were always doing something. They were always involved. They had their hand in just about everything that was going on. They were always laboring for the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. As Paul writes to them and commends them, that they're always doing something. Their names mean, one of them means delicate, and the other one means dainty. And so when you think about delicacy or daintiness, you don't think about somebody who is laboring. But that's what Paul says. Even though they may have been refined and very prissy and, you know, those kinds of women, they were still involved in laboring for the Lord. And God has called all of us, regardless of our background and our social status, to labor and serve the Lord here. Well, we go on to verse 12, and we see the next one, Persis, here. It says, labored much. This is a female. Of course, the Greek names have either feminine endings or masculine endings, and so we can tell from that. In verse 12, it says, salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Notice the difference how Paul addresses in verses 8 and 9. He says, greet Amplius, my beloved. And then in verse 9, he says, and Stachys, my beloved. When he's talking about other men, he uses the personal pronoun my. But when he's talking about a woman, he doesn't make it personal. He says, the beloved, because Paul did not want to do anything that might bring reproach upon her or even upon him. And he was courteous, yet he was respectful, realizing that there is a distinction between the male and the female, and there's the honor that is going to be given there. And we do well to put into practice that kind of attitude that Paul had in making a distinction between the genders and having the honor there as well, even as Paul did in his writing here. And then we come to Rufus. Two more. Rufus in verse 13, it says that he was chosen of the Lord. And then also Paul addresses his mother and mine. Doesn't mean that they were brothers. That means that she was like a mother to Paul. You have people like that who are like a mother to you? Maybe an aunt. I have an aunt that was like a mother to me all the way through college. She was like another mother for me, my mom's sister there. And that's the way Paul was speaking of Rufus here. Who was Rufus? We won't turn to Mark 15, but remember the story when Jesus was carrying his cross and they compelled a man named Simon the Cyrenian to carry the cross of Jesus? Rufus was his son, we learn in Mark. And so what about the mother of Rufus, the wife of the one who was carrying the cross? So Paul says he was chosen in the Lord. Well, his father Simon was chosen too to carry the cross, and Rufus was chosen in the Lord just as we're all chosen. The Bible says we haven't chosen him, but he has chosen us and ordained us, John 15 says, that we might go and bear forth fruit. And that's what all these people are doing. They're bearing fruit unto the Lord in the church. And then he goes on and lists a bunch more without a phrase covering them, and I'll just put them up there and not read those. But now let's look at just a few other people. Life summaries. We've looked at these. It says they're well-beloved. They bestowed much labor. They were a helper. They were my beloved. They labored much. You know, a lot of things said about these people. And so what might be said about us at the end of our lives? Is there a phrase, maybe an epitaph or something that might be said? Well, think about David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Enoch, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:5, he pleased God. Both of those are pretty amazing statements to be said about someone at the end of their lives there. Abraham was called the friend of God. Noah, the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Daniel, it says he was of an excellent spirit there. And then in the New Testament, there was a woman with an alabaster box, and it says about her, she hath done what she could. And so just like all of these people in Romans 16, there's a little phrase about each one that characterized their whole life of how they were believers. And in closing, the last thing, all of these that we see here, we see that they were dedicated saints in their service. If you look at this chapter again, in verse 3, you'll see they were workers laboring together. They were toiling. They were writers. They were givers. They were administrators. They all were doing different things, but they were faithful in their service. Also, they were faithful in their sacrifice as well. They had that pioneer spirit of laying down their necks, it tells us in verse 4. You know, and God has called us all either to go or to give or to share the message where God has placed us. How do we learn to sacrifice? We serve a Savior. We follow a Lord who showed us how to sacrifice. He gave His life for us. And we learn how to sacrifice for the Lord, and nothing that we give up for the Lord should mean anything to us, because we can never compare any sacrifices we make for what the Lord has done for us. And then lastly, we see their faithfulness was shown in their steadfastness. Remember Apelles? It says he was approved, having stood the test of time, having stood through all the persecutions and all the attacks, all the temptations, all the trials. He stood approved before God. And so this morning, the question again is, what is your life's summary statement? If they would write about you, your service to the Lord within a local church, how is it characterized? Are you steadfast and faithful in serving the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these many saints of God who came to know Christ the same way we do, through faith. And they served the same Christ that we serve, that Paul served, a Christ who is worthy of our service. May our lives at the end time, may it be said that our lives were given to the service of God. You are worthy of our praise, our sacrifice, our dedication, and all that we have. And we pray that our lives might be lived to bring praise and glory to you, that we might be shining brightly for you like Phoebe did. In Christ's name, amen.